When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on ChumbaCasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They were also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's ChumbaCasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
The Flash is over, but here on Post Show Recap Theater, we are just getting started. I'm moving around really fast. Meet me. What's the thing that Speedy Gonzalez says? Arriba, arriba. My name is Ariel, and yeah, it's Grace. Grace, what's up? You're my co-host. Are you going as fast as I am?
No, I slowed down to put a can of tomatoes in my shopping cart.
But you can't just make that casual joke like that.
What do you mean?
That means too much.
Oh, yeah. Not to me.
Yeah. just a little preview of what's to come. But please do remember to subscribe to Post Show Recaps Theater. It means a lot. But not as much as, like, you know, traveling back in time to change something, but perhaps the next best thing down.
And if you think, oh man, I should have subscribed to postyourrecaps.com/movies earlier and you tried to travel back in time via the Speed Force, don't do that. Just don't worry about it. Just, you can do it now. You don't have to travel back in time.
Yeah, and if you travel forward and perhaps, like, you missed Grace saying the link, it's postyourrecaps.com/movies for URL podcast catchers. Wow, this movie, it's very much not an understatement to say that an incredibly anticipated movie. There were a lot of expectations put on this movie. Arguably, depending on where you land on the spectrum as far as if you liked it or not, arguably too much expectation.
The best marketing campaign since Smile, I'll say.
From people who should know better, to be clear.
Grace, Tom Cruise. Yeah.
What? Wow, Tom Cruise. I can't wait to talk about that. But I guess very, very quickly, what is your relationship with the Flash character in general, even coming into this movie? Because I'm just curious.
Nothing. Okay. Nothing about the Flash. Like, I know of the Flash, but I don't think I've ever watched a single piece of media that the Flash has been in. So I'm telling on myself that I'm not a DCEU person. I didn't join Everything is Super and do the DCEU rewatch. I've watched a few of the movies. I've watched both Wonder Woman movies. I think that's it. I think maybe in terms of the DCEU, did we watch anything? I watched Shazam. I've seen both Shazams.
Okay. That counts.
So that's what I've seen. Okay. Nothing with Ezra Miller in it. I didn't watch the TV show, The Flash. Nothing. So, yeah, I have no real connection to him. And, yeah, this movie did not work for me at all. So,
yeah. And I only ask because I do have I wouldn't say a deep rooted history, but I have a deep love and appreciation for this character, just the Flash, to be clear, the Flash character in general and all the different iterations of him. You know, I was a big fan of the Flash TV show, the CW TV show. I think the first season is basically perfect, and it ends, you know, I may or may not spoil it later, depending on where we get to on this podcast, but it's just so beautiful, that story, and the Barry Allen, and, you know, in some universes, the Wally West characters are just very well drawn out characters that, you know, he's in some ways like the Spider-Man of the DC universe. And he's like very funny, quippy, and just like a nerd. And this movie was not good, but I had a good time watching it. And I know that sounds like a cop out, but there were so many things that I was like, oh my God, it's the Speed Force. Oh my God, it's this. Like, there were so many stupid nerd moments that, to be fair to reality, weren't that doesn't speak to the quality of the movie. That's literally just, oh, they checked a box and they like said that thing or they showed a thing.
Well, I was watching live when The Flash entering the Speed Force was named the greatest movie moment of all time. I was watching that. Oscars. Yeah. Of all time, that, or that year?
I think incredible. Was that like a multiverse thing? I think maybe we poked our heads through. I don't remember if, I mean, I remember experiencing that alongside with you, at least, you know, culturally, if not physically next to you. But that was a wild moment. That was probably as wild as some of the things that happened.
They only did that to be like, all you fools who want the public to be able to vote on the Academy Awards. Look what they'll give you. The Flash entering the Speed Force, the greatest movie moment in history.
Look what Twitter voting has.
We're not going to let you do this. Yeah.
You're not going to get away with this. Yeah. So there's so much about the movie that doesn't work. And there's a lot of it's genuinely confounding to me, some of the decisions that were made. And when it comes to something this high profile, I am able to at times, even a character like this that I have a lot of love for and regard for, just kind of take a step back and be like, this is so fascinating that this even exists, because of the amount of money and decision making that it took to even get this product. And so many people have to like see this thing, and everyone's like, yeah, Tom Cruise. What was the Tom Cruise quote
when he says the greatest superhero movie of all time?
The greatest superhero movie of all time.
Yeah.
Listen, I know that Tom Cruise does a lot of stunts. Perhaps I don't want to start to guess or start rumors, but perhaps there is some damage to his body that he has earned that have make him think this way. I'm not sure, but this is not that.
And he's trying to save cinema. God. Yeah.
Speaking of things in the multiverse, that leaked audio of him just like yelling about the future of cinema. Incredible moment.
Wasn't he yelling? He was yelling at his cast because they weren't being COVID safe, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. They were like, we are gonna save the world.
If we're not safe, our movie won't come out, and then that'll be bad. So
stay safe. It's like,
it's like, I'm like, oh, you're so close to like being right, you know. You're like halfway, like half
a few
of
degrees off. Yeah.
Like, yeah. If you like stopped your sentence early. Mm-hmm. I'd agree. Like, we have to be COVID safe.
Stop.
To save the movie industry.
To save the movie industry, because it's gonna live on past this thing that I only half believe in.
Yeah. I mean, I am pretty excited for Mission Impossible. What is it? Dead Reckoning Part One?
Dead Reckoning : Part One.
No, it's
Mission: Impossible. Impossible. Dash.
Yeah.
Imaginary.
Yeah.
Dead Reckoning. I think there's another colon.
There must be a comma or something. Part one. I don't know. Anyway.
Comma. Oxford comma remains to be seen. That's for part two. That's for part two.
No, I don't think there is a second colon. I think it's just Dead Reckoning part one. Yeah. But one is spelled out. Anyway.
It's a Dead Reckoning.
I think for this movie, there are a ton of good ideas in here. Mm-hmm. Tons of really good ideas. There's a scene or two in here that like does work for me. And then so much of the rest of it, I'm like, I feel like you dropped all the good ideas on the floor. And now they're all on the floor, is how I sort of feel about the movie. Mm-hmm. And I feel like there's so many factors that go into why this is chaotic, to say the least. So all of the Ezra Miller allegations, which we can talk about the way that they actually try to address them in the movie, which I absolutely hated. But he has all of these things going on that he has now claimed is mental health. I don't know if you can like groom a child and be like, ah, it's my mental health. I think that's just bad. I think probably you need to just not be in this movie, but he's in so much of the movie. No spoiler. Like, I mean, it's in the trailer. He's literally two people in this movie.
Yes.
So all of that, sorry if I've misgendered, I think I might have misgendered them as I was speaking. I just think that, so there's all of that that I feel like is so, it's such a problem.
It was certainly adding to the conversation around the movie, right? Of like the anticipation of this thing that they clearly would risk all of that, to your point, and just decide, you know what? We don't have the time or the money to reshoot this, even if we think we should, which it doesn't seem like they did. And we're going to risk it all. And because it's that good, right? That was the marketing, even if it was like the back channel marketing.
But it's clearly not good enough that it's not being part of James Gunn's new DCU. So it's clearly not that good. It's clearly not that good enough in that way. Right. So I just don't understand it. They're like actively making a choice, James Gunn, to say like, yeah, Blue Beetle, that's part of the DCU. This movie is not part of the DCU. So it's the DCEU. It's the end of the DCEU. It's not the DCU, which apparently is the way that they're making the distinction between the two.
It's interesting to me that like the entire, for me, the thing that kept making sense as someone who's familiar with the Flashpoint storyline that this movie is based on, and it works in a lot of similar ways of like, you know, changes made to things, change reality, whatever. And it just made sense to me, unfortunately, that they'd be like, this is the movie that we need in order to change the thing, you know, to change the reality going forward. And it kind of gives an in-universe explanation for why things could be different. And then for them to just say, yeah, this isn't really part of it, it just feels extra empty and very short-sighted, and just like putting good money or putting bad money after good or whatever the metaphor is. But then, you know, we're not going to put out Batgirl because that's too much of a thing. Like, it's just, and I know it's apples and oranges a little bit, but also it's just, at the end of the day, it's a decision that someone made for money purposes. And we'll, I don't know. And maybe it worked in another universe, but it certainly didn't work in this one based on the box office craze.
Yeah, what did it make? Like $55 million this weekend. It's made about $140 worldwide, which is, I mean, it's a $100 million movie. Just nothing. I think 74 internationally, 66 domestically.
Yeah, I mean, they were hoping, they were estimating, I think it was like 70 or 75 domestically for the weekend, and it obviously falls short of that, and that's never good. But I guess
And the budget there is like over $200 million.
Yeah,
and then I'm just trying to see like if it has any runway in terms of. I mean, it did win the weekend this past weekend, but I mean, I feel like it kind of has until Indiana Jones comes out to kind of that's its runway. I feel like, because I don't think really Asteroid City comes out, I think this Friday, and No Hard Feelings. And I don't feel like either of those are stepping on space.
No,
that the Flash is in.
I mean, to this point about timing and releases, I think certainly.
Yeah.
Some people have spoken about the Across the Spider-Verse movie that came out not too long ago, and that potentially like you know, eating up some of the excitement. In my nerd brain, this was like a completely different thing. This had such a, I mean, not just quality, and you know, the Spider-Verse stuff in my mind is like miles ahead of this, but just as far as the hype around it and like, okay, we're finally getting to see this thing that may or may not be amazing. It hasn't been boring, as I like to say. Certainly the pre lead up to the movie was not boring. And I do not say that lightly, because there were some very serious things going on, unfortunately. But as we said, they decided to move on. And I think that we should move on to the spilling of the PSRT into some spoilers, so that we can finally discuss some of the ridiculous specifics of this movie. Okay, here we go. After helping Batman and Wonder Woman stop a robbery, I was speaking like Barbara Walters, a wobbly from Gotham's general, Barry Allen visits his childhood home where his mom was murdered and his dad went to prison because of it. Barry accidentally uses the Speed Force to travel back in time, and he tells Batman about doing that. Batman tells him, don't do that.
So Ben Affleck Batman is like, hey, no.
Yes, Batfleck, which has never worked for me ever, but I'm so happy for him that he's making money. I'm like, good for you, Batfleck.
Yeah.
You make your money. But he was never really working for me, as Batman, that is.
You have Batmans on your payroll? They're working for you?
This
Batman's not working for me.
He was not working hard for me.
I fired him.
Doing Wayne stuff. So Barry goes back in time anyway, because of course he does, and he prevents his mom from being murdered by placing a can of tomatoes in her cart, which is like the confluence of events that like led to her murder, basically. That's
why the dad goes to the store to buy the tomatoes, and while he's gone, his mom gets murdered. Yeah.
Yes. So while traveling back, he winds up in 2013 accidentally, where his mom is alive, and he meets a younger version of himself, who is 18. And it's the day where he got his powers along his timeline. So Barry takes his younger self to the police department to try to recreate that moment where the younger Barry gets the powers, because older Barry, who has ended up here accidentally, doesn't want to mess with the timeline. But it works, except that the lightning bolt that hits the younger Barry goes through the original Barry, and it causes the original Barry to lose his powers. So now we have like one of those older, more seasoned people teaching the younger person how to use his powers dynamic that sometimes is working with these two. And then separate from that, Zod, played by Michael Shannon, who was in the Man of Steel movie at the very beginning of the DCEU, to your point about all of that ending, quote unquote, with this, Zod arrives to Earth again, determined to destroy the Earth. The Barrys, who are now working together, try to assemble the Justice League, but realize that a lot of them do not exist. They do realize that Batman does exist. They, of course, go to Wayne Manor. They track down Bruce Wayne, but it's a different one than the one that Barry knew. This one is not played by Ben Affleck. It is played by Michael Keaton, who we know from the movie that came out in 1989.
Yeah, Batman 89. Yeah.
And so Batman explains that Barry must have affected the universe by going back in time, and the changes how there are changes from before Barry left that have been affected by what he did.
Time is spaghetti.
They literally use spaghetti. I guess time is soup is like a thing is over, but now time is spaghetti is having its moment. And there's tomato sauce on it, to be clear, of course. The group tries to find Superman because they realize that there was a Kryptonian ship that fell in Siberia. They use Batman's like detective technology to figure that out. But instead of Superman or Kal-El, as he's known on Krypton, they find Kara Zor-El, who is Supergirl, played by Sasha Kali or Kaye. Kara flies original Barry, because she gets back in the sun, she gets her powers. She flies original Barry into a storm and he regains his powers, which is like kind of barbaric when it happens, but thankfully it actually works and they don't just kill him. Mm-hmm. Kara, Batman, and the Barrys fight Zod, because now that both Barrys have powers, they fight Zod in the army. Kara learns that Zod intercepted baby Superman from coming to Earth, which is a different version of the reality that we know from these original movies and from like history. And he killed him. He killed Superman because he had the code to recreate Krypton in his DNA. And then you actually like find out that it's Kara who does, which is like unnecessary thing that they need to tell us, but fine. Kara and Bruce are killed fighting Zod. The Barrys try to travel back in time to save them, but find that each time Kara and Bruce still die. As they continue to do so, the multiverse starts to collapse in on itself. And 2013 Barry continues to get impaled with like this Krypton metal, and he starts to, he's looking like I don't know, kind of like a dinosaur. I don't know what to call him. Original Barry realizes that they can't save Batman or Kara no matter what, even though the younger Barry continues to try. And then a third Barry arrives, who we had seen earlier in the movie, but we just didn't know who it was. And he's been like heavily corrupted with these Krypton metals. He's determined to make sure that their mother is saved. Corrupted Barry tries to kill original Barry, but he kills his younger self instead, the 2013 Barry, and therefore erasing himself from the timeline. This actually makes sense, even though it doesn't sound like it. Barry comes to terms with his mother's death and goes back in time to remove the can of tomatoes that he put into her cart that saved her. Now he's removing them after he puts them in. But he has a moment where he gets to say goodbye to his mom as a stranger at the supermarket. However, when he returns to his final actual timeline that he had left at the beginning of the movie, he has made a timeline where his dad looks.
There's a whole thing where his dad doesn't look up in the camp. There's video footage.
There's evidence. Yes. And
to corroborate his alibi. But he now...
put, I think it's what, right. It's like Barry had put the tomatoes on top so that supermarket when he went back in time. So he did make that change. It turns out that his dad is innocent. The alibi that his dad needed to get out of jail proved to be useful. He contacts Bruce Wayne, him being Barry. And when Batman shows up, it's George Clooney Batman, who we also kind of know from a older movie that they made at some point. And then in a post-credit scene, Barry drinks with Arthur Curry, aka Aquaman, who's played by Jason Momoa, and reveals that he's Aquaman in every universe. So that's useful information.
That's just because there's an Aquaman movie coming out, and that Jason Momoa is going to be part of the DCU. It's just
that's right. See, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
That's the only reason that scene is in there. Yeah. I was a little bit annoyed because I feel like I'm trapped by post-credit scenes these days where I'm like, yeah, but what if something important happens and I have to sit here for 8 minutes and watch it? I was really annoyed that the scene happened. And then I realized that, like, oh, it actually, like, it's still kind of pointless, but it is in there for a very specific reason.
Right, for at least a future looking reason, as opposed to just feeling like this is more nonsense. Obviously, the movie is incredibly complicated, and the story
and incredibly ugly.
But the effects just look so not good. I mentioned the CW TV show that that there is a version of the Flash in, and you know that's a TV show with a much smaller budget, and especially in its first season had a relatively very small budget because they were taking a chance on it. And there were parts of this movie that looked way worse than anything that you would see on like the, you know, questionable quality CW budget that they had. And a lot of this movie had that stuff. It was just like, we're going to lean in to, there were ways that they could have done certain things. Like when, for instance, when Barry is like traveling in the Speed Force and there's like it almost looks like the memories are sitting in like an auditorium around them, or more like a small coliseum. And that just looked pretty bad. And that at least felt important.
I think it's so bad. And I will even give them the credence to say that this is not a rushed CGI job. Although there's a Twitter account I saw that was talking about basically like why the CGI looks bad. And and to be honest, I'm again someone that like, I didn't think Quantumania looked that bad. I just like my eye can't see it. I like can't see the eye spy, you know? I thought this was so bad. But if it's it feels so bad that it had to be a choice to like basically have the, when you're like sitting in the Speed Force bubble, everything outside of the Speed Force bubble, all of the moments are like animated, sort of cartoony, you know, video gamey, and like that's a choice and that's fine. I just think it's a really bad, it's a really bad choice. It looks ugly. I think especially in the era of like hey, all the CGI looks bad in these movies. Mm-hmm. Like you're rushing it to then make this like design choice that I think does not work. And then also like, yeah, I'm willing to give them credit, but I don't know that like a ton of people are. Like, I think a lot of people are like, wow, it looks really bad. So that really threw me because it's supposed to be basically like the most important premise of the movie. And mm-hmm. I mean, you can argue the thing that did work for me is the thing with his mom. So like Batman being like, don't do that. And he's like, yeah, but it's my mom. I could have my mom and I could like change it. You know, the most incremental thing. What if I just put a can of tomatoes in her cart? To me, that worked. And the final scene when he goes back to reverse it also worked for me. I did like that scene. I thought the rest of the movie doesn't work. I find personally Ezra Miller to be not good in the movie. I find that there is a way, and I know that there are people who feel this way about Spider-Man, who find Spider-Man to be very annoying. I don't find Spider-Man to have ever been annoying. He's kind of his most annoying, maybe at like the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, just because it's like the rest of the movie isn't really working. So then it's like the goofiness isn't really going for me. But I love Tom Holland Spider-Man. I really love Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. I mean, the goofiness in Spider-Man 3 obviously gets critiqued and sort of memed a lot.
It has its own special place.
Yeah, but I just found Barry Allen to be very annoying. I hate the first scene of the movie so much. We want to talk about bad graphics, Ariel? Let's talk about the babies.
You mean we didn't mention the babies? The baby shower, which I didn't catch. The person that I saw the movie was like, "Oh, it's a baby shower." I was like, "Oh, that is good."
What? It's a baby shower? they're falling?
They're falling into microwaves, Grace. Apparently, it just looked.
It looks really so bad.
It didn't look good at all. And I guess the only good thing I can say about it is at least it like sets you up for the rest of the movie. It's a very
flat. The movie's gonna be bad.
No, I mean that it's gonna. Excuse me. What I meant to say was that it sets you up for how the visual effects are gonna look.
I know what you meant.
Yeah, that was bad. And like the dog, at least the dog was cute, but that just looked kind of dumb.
I find the line between what I will find to be, because like there is silly humor that I love, and I find like. I utilize a lot of, I think, very silly humor, but for me, there is such this line when it's working and when it's not working, and him eating at the beginning while he's like the babies are falling. I just hated it so much. I don't think I can't honestly think of something I watched this year. What have we watched? That's been like, we didn't really like Magic Mike, The Last Dance. I don't know. We watched, what's that movie with like Christian Bale last year?
Amsterdam. That was awful.
Yeah, Amsterdam. But like, I really think this is the thing I was sitting in my seat hating more than anything else I've watched, because I don't know. It's just being silly with like babies falling to the ground. It looks terrible. And then you're like, also he's eating food because he's on the protein or whatever. He needs to like carb up and fuel up. You guys a watch. I just thought it was so not good and not funny, and I didn't like it. And I'm really sorry if you like, no shame on anybody. If you love this movie, I'm so happy for you. I'm so happy that you saw this movie and loved it. This is just the most not for me I think I've ever been sitting in a movie theater watching, specifically this opening scene, because I think there is things in here like Michael Keaton Batman happy. I'm a little confused with the choices they made about how they included Michael Keaton Batman in the movie. Love the Kara Zor-El stuff and being like, actually, Zod killed a baby. I'm like, that's friggin' awesome. I love
it. It's dark.
And then I'm like, but then they didn't really do anything with it. They're just like, yep. And she dies. She makes Barry sit in lightning and then she dies. And then the same thing with Batman. They're like, he's old, retired Detective Batman, but also he knows about time travel and also he dies. And so I'm just like, I don't know if, again, this like idea of like good ideas, and then they just like immediately tripped and spilled them all on the floor, and they had tried to pick it up like, and it just looks like spaghetti, and I'm like, I don't think I get it.
You're like, I don't even like spaghetti. No, I think spaghetti. The metaphor of dropping good ideas, I think, is a good one, because I think for me it's more like I agree with your version completely. But for me, it's like the good ideas and the bad ideas, they were trying to hold both in their hands at the same time and like hold them both up. And by that, I mean, like, have them stand up to reason. And they dropped so much of the good. And I think, you know, to highlight some of that, I agree. Like the Kara stuff, I don't think, you know, it's a little... The dialogue feels a little flat from Kara, but like I really feel the emotion from the character. And again, similar to the Flash, like I really love a lot of the Supergirl stories, and I was a fan of the series, and like her in the DC, the Justice League, and like the Justice League Unlimited cartoons. Like I'm such a fan of Supergirl, so like to have a version of her that has to grapple with having failed her mission, having her cousin have been murdered this whole time and her not know, it was like really dark. And
she's like trapped in a Krypton cage. Yeah, in Siberia.
It was awful.
Yeah.
And so that was really affecting. You know, seeing Michael Keaton, I thought it was gonna get cheap much faster than it did for me. I think some of the lines, it was like too much. Like by the time we got the "you want to get nuts, let's get nuts,"
I wanted to vomit.
I know, and that's part of my disgust for it, because like the whole time I'm like, oh no, that line is still coming. Like I wish they had used that line earlier. And now because of the trailer, like you said, I know that line's coming, and I hate it. Michael Keaton, so charismatic as usual. Like so interesting to get a version of him who, you know, had been through some stuff and had kind of quit being Batman. You know, having the older Batman is very true of the Flashpoint storyline, although I thought the twist was going to be that he was in fact Thomas Wayne, the father, because in the original Flashpoint storyline, like the people who died in the alleyway in Batman's universe are the mom and the son. So Thomas Wayne, the dad, becomes Batman, but whatever. So I think this was like that, but just keep his name Bruce, basically. They took like the same beat a little bit and just made him older.
They wanted both the good ideas and the bad ideas.
Yeah. That's exactly
in this, right. Like, this is not 80. It seems like canon wise, this is not like 89 Batman. This is not the same. It just happens to be like Michael Keaton as a completely new version of Batman.
Yeah. Because, multiversally, there's going to be a different Batman who looks like Michael Keaton, but it isn't the Michael Keaton that we've seen. And apparently, according to this movie, the internal logic, like, time, when you adjust time, it moves backwards and forward. Like that part felt very dark, Grace, where when you affect time, it affects the past and the future. I'm like, well, I know that from Dark. I know the rules.
Well, except this is much more in line of like, you can change the past, which is like very much what like this is much more Back to the Future-y than Dark. But I did like that. I do like this idea that like you think, I feel like I was like, okay, yes, that's a great way to explain how you're going to explain multiverse stuff. Of like, even if you go back in time to this point, like like time is not like linear, so. Yeah, it messes up some stuff before. Yeah, I actually thought that was like, I was like, oh, okay, all right, that makes sense. Because I was like, yeah, I don't understand how this is Batman, but okay. Right. And then
I think the bowl of spaghetti is silly, but also effective in the sense that it gives you like a visual representation. And it's not like the same multiverse tree that we've seen in the MCU a million times.
Discover why critics are calling Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes the best film of the franchise.
What a wonderful day!
It's a jaw-dropping spectacle that demands to be seen on the biggest screen possible.
We need to go.
Hang on. It is our time. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes, now playing only in theaters. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
Okay, round two. Name something that's not boring.
A laundry? Ooh, a book club. Computer solitaire, huh?
Ah, oh, sorry. We were looking for Chumba Casino. That's right. Chumbacasino.com has over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy.
Chumba.
The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumba. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details. Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered ChumbaCasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to ChumbaCasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. ChumbaCasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Yeah, and another thing I liked, you already went into this before, because I do want to discuss my feeling on the Barry Allen performance, or the performances, I should say, because there are two distinct ones. The mother stuff totally worked. It's such a hallmark of like the Flash character and that loss. And I think, you know, they hired a charismatic actress to play the mom, and she's not in it for long, but she has a couple of like really emotional scenes that or just, you know, it's that universal thing of like, you're gonna fill it in. You're gonna fill in their connection with your connection with a parent. And I think, you know, it felt well earned to me. Like, I started crying when Iris shows up in the movie, and who's, you know, his like, in most universes, Barry and Iris end up together. She's like,
the journalist.
Yeah, the journalist. And she's like, oh, how's your dad's appeal going? And I'm like already crying because I know all the details about the dad and the mom and how she died, and they blame the dad. I'm like, oh my God, it's working so well. So
this Maribel Verdú, who plays Nora Allen, my mom has started this thing with all of her grandkids that I just love it, where she has a different way of how she says she loves them to all of them. So she, with my oldest niece, she says, I love you. And then they say to the moon and back. And then she does this like eye points heart thing with like, Cecilia. And then she was like trying to, she's like, yeah, I'm gonna have to think of something for Ava. And so I like was giving her suggestions. So when they have the back and forth of like, I love you. And then like, oh, but I loved you first. I was like, oh yeah, shit. That's good.
Right, real good. Yeah.
Yeah,
because you bring in your personal connections. I love it. So that really worked, but I think by the time it got to some of the scenes that were supposed to really work, I had kind of done like some pre-crying, and like the stuff at the end, like you said with the supermarket, I really wanted to cry, but somehow ironically I didn't. I never quite cry when I want my body to. But
I only didn't like that they he's, I get it, but like he's wearing all the stuff that has tags on it, which like I wouldn't mind, but I'm also like, oh, it's so distracting. And it sounds so silly that it's distracting, but I'm like, there's a way in which, like, I just think I think Marvel has, you know, maybe not so much anymore, but I feel like there was a time period where they really nailed how to do comedy in the superhero movie, like some of the best Marvel stuff, the balance of it. And I feel like the first scene, I don't need to talk about it again, but I do feel like they do not quite have the balance right in the Flash in terms of the comedy versus sort of the seriousness.
Yeah, and I think that's spot on. I think that was always a problem with the Zack Snyder, you know, DCEU, because Zack Snyder is a person who likes to make a really dark, you know, at least in this version of DC that he was making, a really dark, gritty, you know, no bullshit, we're going to use guns, people are going to die, there's blood, whatever universe. And like, then they tried to like kind of retroactively put some of the Marvel style humor in it, and it never quite worked.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, the ending does, The scene, but you know, and then again, another idea that I think is close to working, but then doesn't work, is corrupted Barry. Barry, who is like trying to save his mom. I think that the reason why the idea behind that, but I think that the idea behind that, I think, is strong because it's really in line with Barry Allen as a character, that his, you know, the thing of like Batman's like, don't do that. And he's like, I think I'm going to go do it. And then the 2013 version of him, like, who has always had his mom, would, you know, be continually going back in time. But I think in terms of like, we're seeing a lot of multiverse stuff. Obviously we just saw Across the Spider-Verse, but you know, we've had, you know, it's big and Marvel's not even close to being done with it, 'cause they're in their multiverse saga. So I'm a little bit skeptical about, you know, are we already in multiverse fatigue?
Do we care anymore? Yeah.
But
we
I think we
still have like 2 to 3 to 4 more years of that.
I know. But I think the thing about this version of multiverse in particular that I didn't, like, and again, I guess this is like good idea, bad idea, trying to hold them both together at once, which is that I do like the idea of like, okay, can I do this one small thing to save my mom? And I do this idea that like, you can't just do that, that it will like affect things in a way that's not great. And you need it to be bad enough in a way that Barry Allen realizes he can't, like his mom does have to die for sort of the world to be as close to his world as possible.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think they did a good enough job. Like the balance between, there's so much change. I think the biggest thing is obviously Zod coming to Earth and the Superman thing, Supergirl thing, which is fine. But seemingly nothing else real big has happened. So the fact that like there's a scene where the Barrys are hanging out at 2013 Barry's like apartment with his friends. And this scene also didn't work for me. Mm-hmm. Where there's one thing in the thing that works, which is where Eric Stoltz is Marty McFly. And the guy's like, no, that's not. He's like, Barry's like, no, that's not true. Mm-hmm. And then the guy's like, no, it is. And he shows his tattoo. He's like, your tattoo's upside down. And he lifts his leg up upside down.
Is it?
Right way up. Yeah, is it? It's the only thing in that scene that works for me. The Back to the Future stuff is like cute if you get that, like, yeah, they filmed almost all of
Back to the Future. If you get the joke.
Like, that's the biggest thing that happened. Like, the things that happened in the multiverse in which Barry Allen saves his mom are Zod comes, like, this humongous thing that happened where, like, Superman gets killed as a baby, and then Zod is able to come to Earth and try to destroy the Earth, and then also people are in different movies than they were in the original timeline.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the things that the multiverse affected. Batman is a different Batman, but seeming like, I just feel like it just wasn't like, it's like, okay, all right. It wasn't really a fun. And then, we should talk about the ending too, where the multiverses are collapsing on each other.
Yes.
We get the cameos.
The Ezra Miller, very quickly, I just want to say, like, I agree that they never really got it right. There was something about and I guess in some ways the portrayal of younger Barry worked a little bit more, because I think Ezra Miller's performance of Barry specifically is like a little bit more grating in a way that I appreciate, that they were trying to like, you know, change what his character is like a little bit. Like, he's still very quippy in the way that he always is, but he's supposed to be like a lot funnier. This version of Barry is just more
child,
like,
you know.
Yeah, a little bit more childlike. And then in the 18-year-old version, you know, they're playing it very young and like high energy, even before, you know, that version of Barry has changed into the Flash.
Oh, sorry, that's what I meant. The 2013 version is very childlike. So the other one is like, he's goofy, but he's not.
I mean, but they both kind of are. But I do see the delineation that they were trying to make between them of like, okay, this, in contrast to each other, they have to feel a little bit different because they look so much alike, obviously, even though the hair is different. But I just think that it's a little bit too much. It felt like, again, for this metaphor, it felt like the actor had too much to carry. Like, there was just too much. And like, there are certain actors who can carry a movie
you know, be the lead. And I just feel like this version of Barry is works much better as, you know, in the Justice League, in somebody else's movie, or even in this movie, but having like another lead that is there the entire time, that is strong, that like that the Barry character can play off of. I think that it's just
maybe a Flash from the TV show.
Oh my God, stop, Grant Gustin. Oh, so good. But yeah, so this thing about the multiverse stuff at the end, which I have heard now, you know, talk of, I think of, you know, I've seen on the internet, like versions of it on the internet of like what was AI versus what was not AI. I think Kevin got into it a little bit on
I think Kevin's take is that all the Flashpoint stuff was AI. All the auditorium stuff is all AI done. And then the ending, a bunch of it is,
I think, and it's so crazy watching it because you were just mentioning the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and I did a little bit of how, you know, they're dealing with this. And in the Multiverse of Madness, they're dealing with like what they call in that universe, incursion events. And like when the universes like start to slam into each other, that's what will later, or in the comic books anyway, what later causes secret wars, which is a thing that they're gonna get to later. But it was bizarre. Like on the one hand, seeing like before he even turned around, I'm like, this person has long hair. To your point about the Eric Stoltz thing, that if it works, if you have the reference point of Eric's and you have seen some of the, I don't think there's footage, but there's a lot of pictures of him in like the Marty McFly outfit. Mm-hmm. There is this version of Superman that they were developing where Nicolas Cage was going to be Superman. This is now I'm talking about in the real world. And then they get to pay it off here because they own that. And they're going to show Christopher Reeve and that girl who played Supergirl that I can't remember. I'm like, is that Alicia Silverstone? It's not. Was it? But I can't tell because it's a fake. It's like not these real people. It's like somewhere between a what we would call like a hologram, right? Like where people would show up at concerts who are dead, and this happens in the real world, but now like put AI on it and make them like move around. It looked weird. There's like an uncanny valley effect, even just beyond that. The visual effects, as we have already said, are bizarrely opaque and just like don't look finished or well rendered. And you get to see, and like the Christopher Reeve thing especially feels like a little bit insensitive. And
apparently they got permission from all of the families of anybody that they used in this movie.
There you go.
So I felt similarly. The Christopher Reeve one, you know, there's a really great he has a cameo in Smallville. And he was big because when he was living with his disability, he's a really big disability advocate. But apparently, you know, and to the point of like, yeah, the family probably now gets like, you know, the state gets some money out of that. You know, I don't know.
Something. I mean, there is something. It's like bittersweet, right? Like it feels inappropriate, but it's also like, oh, it's in a way you could argue, and it's obviously more than fine if you feel this way, of like the beauty of getting to see him, like just for a moment, not see him, but to see the character that he was playing live on in some other universe. There's like there's some comfort in that, I guess you could say, or some people would feel that way. That's cool. But I just think overall it has this weird effect of you're seeing, and my nerd brain was excited. I was like, wow, it's Nicolas Cage Superman. He's going to turn around. And I was like, holy crap, it's Nicolas Cage Superman. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember what else you see, you know, the Christopher Reeve stuff.
You see the first guy who played Superman, but then he's actually like the Flash, right? George Reeves, I think, is in the movie.
Yeah, right. You see the original Jay Garrick, like the original, the old school, the timey Flash.
Maybe I'm wrong. Maybe George Reeves is just Superman. And Helen Slater is the other Supergirl. And Adam West Batman, I think, is in there as well.
Yes, Adam West Batman, and you hear the voices, and it felt a little bit like, you know, Across the Spider-Verse. It was like a similar moment, but at least with that they're using like original footage, so that doesn't feel like a cheat. This is like all quote-unquote all new footage that may or may not be AI generated. It's bizarre. It's such a fascinating moment. Like I just think it's such a fascinating artifact, because it's almost like they
to your point a little bit of how the visual effects are looking in the beginning of the movie, you're kind of like, okay, this was a choice and they're leaning into it. So would they think, did they think like people are just going to be so excited about seeing these people that it doesn't matter how bad it looks?
Hilarious that they're like, Henry Cavill, no, thank you. It's okay. You were in Black Adam. We're good. Don't need you.
But he did appear. He did appear in like the little auditorium courtroom scene of Time when,
I would have loved the Tom Welling appearance, as I mentioned, Smallville. That would
be great. Tom Welling. He's aged so beautifully. This was weird. This is such a bizarre artifact. I think if Zod comes to Earth and he's like, show me the movie that I'm in, they show him this movie, he's gonna be pissed. He's gonna be like, what is this? Yeah. This is the representation of your art. This is horrible. It's ironic to me. Like, you know, I ended up liking some things and ultimately still feeling good while watching it, but as with a lot of these DC movies, it's an empty experience. It's kind of feels like candy, and a lot of times it's candy that you don't necessarily like, but it's just you're eating candy, so you're like, I think this is good.
Okay, one more rant. There's a scene where Barry Allen, I can't remember, is it when the woman with the baby is yelling and she's like, that was terrifying? Uh-huh. And she's talking about like getting support, and he's like, yeah, you should see a therapist. And it's like, yeah, the Justice League hasn't really figured out the mental health stuff yet. That has to be a reshoot that they put in after all of the stuff came out, where Ezra Miller's camp is like, I just have mental health. I'm going through mental health issues. Right. And it's like a jab at like somebody about the way that they were not supporting
Miller's mental health. Bit like,
I hated it. I hate it.
Like when the idol did the, we don't need the intimacy coordinator.
That's right.
You're like, okay, but who is saying this? Is this the character on the show or is this someone else?
I mean, I mean, the best is fine. It feels icky to have it be like Ezra Miller looking at the camp being like, gotta provide mental health services, we gotta figure that one out, right? Which like
Justice League, right? Then there's even the joke of the Justice League hasn't quite figured that part yet, and I'm like
is it whatever, but like, or is that a personal responsibility?
Come on, they were like grooming it's awful what they're doing, so it's like, you know, I don't know.
I wish it mattered in a way, I guess. Ultimately, this is gonna sound so stupid, but ultimately I guess I'm relieved, because at the end of the day, what I thought we were getting because of all this hype was like a really good movie that would then make the overall culture and conversation around Ezra Miller like even more complicated and honestly annoying.
Right.
Of just like, well, but look at this product. It's pretty good. And now we're like, no, the CGI is just bad. So like we can just never talk about this movie again. And also, for the record, anytime Tom Cruise says anything questionable, we were already questioning, but it's even more questionable now. Best superhero movie of all time? No, I think so. Maybe Elevation. Maybe it's Elevation Sickness from Top Gun. I don't know.
Best superhero movie where time is compared to spaghetti. Don't
there
quote
is a
me on
spaghetti.
That.
Best
superhero movie with a baby in a microwave. 100%.
I would agree with that. The spaghetti looked bland. I'm just gonna say it.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was the point. Yeah,
no seasoning. I don't know.
Pretty bad spaghetti, I think.
Yeah. Batman, you know, he had Alfred. Or I guess the point is he doesn't have Alfred. Okay, fine, fair. I stand corrected from myself. Yeah.
Jeremy Irons was fun for like the 5 minutes he was in the movie. Like that.
That's true. You know, and I forgot Jeremy Irons was in this movie, and I'm so glad, because now I have something to smile about. Jeremy Irons is doing so well in this movie. Yeah. Like Mr. Allen, you know, because Barry Allen is the babysitter and he knows it. Literally babysitting, but instead baby throwing and baby microwaving.
Are you excited for Blue Beetle? Are you excited for a DC dude reset? Launching with Blue Beetle, apparently.
Okay. Another character that I really care about. No, I just, and that okay and that sigh was just like, yeah, let's keep the disappointment coming. Like, just keep, I'm ready to be hurt again. Blue Beetle's a character that I really enjoy, not as deeply as The Flash. It's a newer character. I appreciate that he's a Latin character. I hope it's good. As with everything, I hope it's good.
I mean, I mean, not to like just get my expectations. And I think like now I'm in to do, like, I mean, I watch everything. So I'm going to watch these. They'll be the biggest movies when they come out or whatever. We'll see. I think James Gunn leading it actually, like, I do think the problem with the DCU is they didn't put somebody in charge of this thing.
Yeah. If Top Gun, Tom Cruise, James Gunn got involved in the Blue Beetle movie early enough, even if it was just like in the edit bay, or like we can still cut this movie into something fun and like a product that feels worthwhile, I think that for sure that made a difference. I feel like time.
I think Peter Safran is involved, and he's the co-chairman and co-CEO with James Gunn. So I think the DNA is there. I think.
Okay. Well, I hope the DNA is there because, you know, it may not be, and then the Beetle will get mad. That's what the Blue Beetle storyline is about.
Yeah. I mean, I think for me, like, it's kind of fun to feel like, you know, it will be really interesting, I think, for us to chat about as Marvel is trying to like figure out their how to like keep going. They have all this like, you know, stuff, whereas the DCU is you know going to sort of be like, here's the reset button, we're starting from scratch. Mm-hmm. And the one thing I do worry about is that, like, I feel like it's, you know, it's really underrated how much time Marvel put into the MCU, like, mm-hmm. how much time there is between like Iron Man till like the end of it, right? Like, there's so, you know, and the Avengers, you know, happens, you know, in there, but like, I don't know, it does feel like, to a degree, like they had some patience that doesn't feel like DC has had, and some consistency that DC has not had.
Yes.
And so I really, really liked Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3. I've not watched the James Gunn's like Suicide Squad stuff, but, you know, if that's sort of the energy he's going to bring to the DCU, I don't know, I'm kind of excited. I think it could be really fun, so we'll see, and I'll be fine. I don't have an attachment really to basically any, like, Batman. I really love Batman. Mm-hmm. Like, don't screw up Batman, and I'm kind of fine. Everything else that's like, it's not good. I don't know. Yeah, you know.
Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I definitely am looking forward to the James Gunn. I actually wasn't aware that they were publicly talking about his involvement, or like their involvement, the co-chairs now in Blue Beetle. So that does make me excited that they were, you know, involved to some degree, and that they're going to hang their hat on it on the one hand, but on the other hand, you know, they were somewhat hanging their hat on this movie, but they also were like, it's not part of our universe.
You could be cautious in the sense that in January 2023, he said it will not be connected. But by mm-hmm. April, he actually said, no, we are going to incorporate it, and that potentially Blue Beetle mm-hmm. will have its own trilogy. So I think it's fine for you to also be like, I don't know. This is the first, you know, if this is the first thing that's like falling under James Gunn's
DC stuff,
then
all
it's fair to be
is strings to be able to put on later. Like, as we've been saying, even with this movie that was like highly flawed, there were good things in there. So if you have someone like a James Gunn who we can somewhat trust, at least on like a taste level of what is entertaining, then yeah, you could turn up the volume, so to speak, on the things in a movie that are working well, and turn the volume way down on the things that are not working well. And he seems to be able to calibrate things very successfully. So,
yeah,
you know,
I agree. Yeah.
Blue Beetle, let's do it. Coming in, I don't know, 2 months?
August 18th.
Wow, what a time. Yeah. Are we going to time
travel? For my birthday.
Wow. Way to make it about you. I love this universe.
Happy birthday to me.
Well, I guess we'll see you then for that movie. I'm going to travel through time right now to try to get there sooner to let you know if it's good or not. And then I'm going to have to come back to this moment in time and pretend like I don't know that the movie's good or bad when I arrive, because I don't want to break the multiverse.
Okay, fair enough.
That's it for this movie, The Flash. What a mm-hmm. moment. It's kind of sad now, because what else do we have to look forward to? I think there's Barbie coming out. I think there's Oppenheimer coming out, but
I mean, the Asteroid City comes. I'm going to go see it tonight as we're recording this podcast.
Yeah,
Indiana Jones. I'm excited. We're going to talk about Past Lives, I think. Mission Impossible.
Yes. Yeah. Past Lives.
Barbie and Oppenheimer.
We already did talk about that.
I'm kind of excited.
I'm not excited about the 3-hour runtime, because movies famously do not have intermission. But
Oppenheimer's like 3.5 hours, I think, right?
It's three. I was told it's 3 hours.
Very good question for you. I don't know if you're going to do same day, but which one are you seeing first, Barbie or Oppenheimer?
I have to see Barbie first because the Oppenheimer tickets went on sale and I missed the IMAX screening. So I actually can't see it on the big IMAX screen until Monday morning.
And then you're going to have to take the next day off work because you said it'll make you feel physically sick when you watch the explosion.
I have radiation poisoning.
Yeah, you're going to have radiation poisoning. You have to take the whole week off.
We know very well from Dark Grace.
Here's what I think. I think if you're going to watch them both in the same day, you should have your dessert last. So see Barbie last. I think Oppenheimer, I'm not ending the day on Oppenheimer, you know? No. I'm going to go then watch Barbie.
Yes.
If I can't watch them on the same day, I think we'll probably see Barbie first, even if Oppenheimer is, I think, potentially more my movie. I think they're both going to be a movie. I actually think Barbie's going to be like super psychological. And I think like really,
I know they can pull it off.
I know.
God, I have such high hopes. I have such high hopes.
But I'll probably see Barbie first. And that's similar to your thing is that the IMAX, the theater near me is not IMAX. So yeah. Anyway.
Incredible. Incredible moment. Incredible moment of movies. So many summer movies left to come out, like you said. So I'm really excited to be talking about those with you very soon. Until then though, Grace, what else do you have working for you on these podcast front, network fronts?
I'm chatting about let's start with, we're not done with Succession. Episode rankings in the Battle Royale. Next week will be the final week, I think, for both of those. We'll see what comes out after that. You and I are also chatting HBO's The Idol. We're watching it so you don't have to. We lured Jess Sterling into watching a couple episodes. Also covering Black Mirror. We did like the full episode. We recapped all 5 episodes in one podcast with Mike and LT. Then LT and I are going episode by episode with guests along the way. And yeah, we're doing a dark rewatch with Rich. And over on Rob as a podcast, you can check out The Pride Has Spoken. We chat with different LGBTQ survivors. We had a great conversation with Carla and we had a great conversation with Hi. And we should have another one. Hopefully should drop tomorrow. I'll announce it. Missy Bird from Survivor Island of the Isles. We're going to chat with Missy. So that was a really great conversation we had. So I'm excited for people to check that out. I'm on Twitter at Hi From Grace.
Wow, wow, wow. I am also on Twitter at That Other Ariel. I'm charting. I guess I'm charting. And besides charting, I'm chatting with you, like you said, about Dark and covering The Idol, like you said. And there was something else. Yeah, Grey's Anatomy coverage with Chappelle. We finished the season. We're trying to do another like monthly deep dive thing like we did at the very beginning. Because, the summer's off for Grey's and this writer's strike, but Chappelle and I are still doctors, so we don't want to put away our badges quite yet.
That's right.
But that's it from us here. So many exciting movies. I'm genuinely excited to talk about them. Until then, I'm Ariel. That's Grace. We are pushing the best theater. Bye.
It is Ryan here, and I have a question for you. What do you do when you win? Like, are you a fist pumper, a woo-hooer, a hand clapper, a high-fiver? I kind of like the high-five, but if you want to hone in on those winning moves, check out Chumba Casino. At ChumbaCasino.com, choose from hundreds of social casino-style games for your chance to redeem serious cash prizes. There are new game releases weekly, plus free daily bonuses, so don't wait. Start having the most fun ever at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18+.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
It's time for today's Lucky Land Horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's time for today's Lucky Land horoscope with Victoria Cash.
Life's gotten mundane, so shake up the daily routine and be adventurous with a trip to Lucky Land. You know what they say, your chance to win starts with a spin. So go to LuckyLandSlots.com to play over 100 social casino-style games for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Get lucky today at LuckyLandSlots.com.
Available to players in the U.S., excluding Washington and Michigan. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply.